Item number three. An adopted resolution by Supervisor West directing the Administrator of the Behavioral Health Division to continue collaborative strategies with the District Attorney and the Sheriff to create, where possible, enhanced policies and procedures addressing the safety of patients within county DHD facilities. Out of that resolution, quarterly reports were requested from the Community Advisory Board, informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay, someone moves. Okay. I was wondering when you were going to turn around.
This is deja vu.
She said the other way, she turned around. I was teasing. Okay. All right, you guys want to, could you give us your name and what you're here for?
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Holloway and members of the committee. My name is Barbara Beckert. I'm director of the Milwaukee Office of Disability Rights, Wisconsin, and here this morning as co-chair of the Community Advisory Board on Mental Health, which this committee played a leadership role in establishing.
Paula Lucy, currently the PhD administrator, but I was the co-chair of this committee prior to my return to government service.
Watch out for that.
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, we're pleased this morning to share with you the third quarterly report from the Community Advisory Board. And just to briefly give a little bit of background, because I know we have a new committee member here, and welcome Supervisor Biddle. When this Community Advisory Board was established, the goal of the group the goal of the group was to work collaboratively with the staff at BHD and with a diverse group of community stakeholders. So consumers, people with mental illness who receive service, family members, community providers, advocacy groups, law enforcement. We have a representative from the Sheriff's Department, as well as someone who is from Milwaukee Police Department involved with CIT, to work collaboratively to try and address some of the challenges that we're experiencing related to safety, quality of care, and linkages to community services. So the group has had a very dedicated participation, which has also included one of your colleagues, Supervisor Joe Sanfilippo, who was appointed by Chairman Holloway to serve on the board. Our work has moved forward primarily with the three work groups in those primary areas, safety, patient-centered care, and linkages to the community. So our report does have quite a bit of information with you, and I know time is limited. So I thought what perhaps Director Lucy and I could do is highlight a few of the initiatives and topics in the report, and it would be our pleasure, you know, if you have further questions or would like to meet with us about any of these topics, we'd be happy to do that. So does that sound okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so one area that we thought was particularly important, which is on page two, is models for serving people with developmental disabilities. And I know you'll be hearing further about that often. People who are served at the mental health complex have a developmental disability. They may also have a dual diagnosis of a serious mental illness. And one of the areas that we looked at are what are best practices for serving these individuals. You know, many people may have challenging behaviors and may not be doing well in a community setting, but potentially could be doing well. So we brought in a speaker from the Wiseman Center at University of Wisconsin-Madison, that each state has a university center on excellence for people with developmental disabilities. And the Wiseman Center is that plays that role for our state. And I think the important thing is this is not just an ivory tower group of researchers. These are folks who really roll up their sleeves and work collaboratively in the community. So they have a very successful model in Madison called Community Ties that serves these very type of people that we currently have made a commitment that we want to do a better job of helping them be successful living in the community. Complex people with developmental disability and mental illness and challenging behaviors. I think that there was a very positive reception to the ideas that Mr. White shared with us. At the end of your packet, there's a two-page summary that talks about the model. It's really a whole continuum that they have of supporting people in the community. And they've indicated that they would be ready and eager to partner with the Behavioral Health Division and Disability Services here in Milwaukee County. And I think advocacy groups are, you know, eager to be a resource as well. So that's one best practice that we had wanted to share with you, and are excited about the potential for moving that forward, and think that not only will it provide better care for people, it's ultimately going to save money. Because if people are successful living in the community, we're not going to see this pattern of people having to frequently come out to PCS and be admitted, and some ultimately having a long period of time staying at the mental health complex. Another important partner in the success of that initiative would be the Family Care and Partnership Managed Care Organizations. There are three of them in Milwaukee County. Milwaukee County has our own. There's also Community Care and Eye Care. So one of the things that we did concurrently with this is I had set up a meeting with the three Family Care Managed Care Organizations and Paul White, you know, so that they could talk about some of the challenges they're experiencing, because they are serving these folks in the community, and to learn more about the community ties model. And, again, it was very well received. It was very positive, and the MCOs all indicated they'd welcome the opportunity to continue dialogue with the county and see how we can work together to look at this model and to do a better job of helping people be successful in the community. Again, better outcomes for people, less money for the county. In terms of safety issues, as I said, we have a safety work group. So one area that I had wanted to share with you is the issue of seclusion and restraints. Again, when DQA and CMS did their investigation, one of the things that was noted in some of the records we reviewed was an overuse of seclusion and restraints. So we had a very informative presentation from staff at BHD, and it looks like they're doing some very positive things in that regard. So we're glad to hear that, and some of the particular practices that they've put in place are very patient-centered and work with patients to find out what are the triggers and what are some strategies that might help in terms of diffusing challenging behavior or responding in a way that is going to have the best success. So we wanted to recognize the positive steps that BHD has taken. We are going to be having later this month someone come in who is an expert in the sanctuary model, which is being used at some of the other state mental health facilities. That's another strategy for reducing use of restraint and seclusion. So, again, it's a best practice. It's used nationally, and we hope that that'll be helpful. In terms of the patient-centered care work group, one of the areas, again, where we saw some movement forward, one of our previous recommendations was that the grievance policy that is given to patients and to families upon admission, it's very comprehensive and legalistic. And, I mean, it's important that that information is provided to patients and families, but it's confusing. So our suggestion was that in addition to this formal legalistic document, that a more user-friendly version be put together, something that would be very brief and concise and would explain to patients what their rights are in a very user-friendly way. And again, I think there's been some good partnership. The BHD Patient Rights Committee worked with one of the members of the Community Advisory Board, a peer specialist, to develop a one-page piece that's now in all of the packets. In addition to that, we had recommended that our brochure from Disability Rights Wisconsin, since we provide advocacy services for people who are having problems in the mental health system, that that be included as well. So, again, both of those are changes that, you know, there was agreement and that were easy and cost-effective to implement. In terms of the community...
Excuse me. I would be remiss if I did not allow them to ask you a question
of
as
course.
You finish. Do you have any questions of them? Okay. Supervisor.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. I was just curious about the models for serving people with developmental disabilities. And having later on in our meeting, we're going to talk with Ms. Lightday in regard to a pilot project that they want to introduce to the board or to the committee. And so I'm just curious, where is the overlap? Because, you know, BHD is very complex. There's a lot going on, so I'm really still continuing to wrap my head around things. I'm just wondering, at what point does the department head and the CAB come together to talk about different programs that they want to introduce or think that are best practices, and in regard to the pilot program as well as what you just mentioned about the model? Where did you come together and overlapped?
So, because I've been wearing both hats, I think that we became very intrigued with the model that was presented by the Weissman Center. And their model, their motto is that they are dedicated to keeping people in the community. So as we looked, as we looked at some of our clients, we found clients that were already in the community and were trying to figure out how to keep them in the community. And so it is 100% aligned, and as you've heard from Barbara, a lot of the issues that we've been bringing up, we've been taking care of as they've come along. So that's a very aligned operation between those two things.
Okay. So does that mean that, you know, you're meeting with the department head as you're having your CAB meetings?
She is the department.
Okay, you're new. That's right. Thank you. I'm thinking of Jerry Light Day when I say that a lot. Sorry.
I talk to her every day.
She took the heat off of Jerry Light Day. Paula has been working with mental health for many, many years before she was appointed.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. Okay, so then we are then continuing with the conversation as far as, you know, having these community programs and not, again, okay, I get it.
It's all right. I mean, Jerry, we'll bring Jerry up to make him comfortable. Are there any other? Yes, Supervisor Mayo.
Now, I want to go back to the three HMOs, only the three models. Is the state still subsidizing the other two, and Milwaukee County going to get their fair share so we can maintain the mental illness program so people, when they come back from those other programs and switch back to Milwaukee County, is that cash coming through?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, there was an issue before. I bring it up a little later. Okay, no
problem. Okay. Anyone else have any questions? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. And just in response to your question, which I appreciate, Supervisor Harris, that was a good one, Director Lide was at the meeting that we had with the Weissman Center, and I think one of the suggestions from the Community Advisory Board would be, in terms of the pilot project, that they would be an excellent resource to provide technical assistance with that, and are very eager and willing to do so. And, you know, Paula and I had a chance to talk about some of the specific comments regard to that yesterday. In terms of community linkages, this is a very important area. You know, the initial focus for the Community Advisory Board was on the concerns at the acute care unit, but we thought it was very important to include linkages to the community because unless there's discharge planning and follow-up that helps people after they leave the hospital be successful, you know, they're going to be coming back to the hospital again. So that's why this linkages piece we think is so important. So there are a number of different areas we looked at there. One in particular that I wanted to call your attention to is a new initiative that's being piloted in Milwaukee County and in several other counties called PeerLink. And this is something that one of the managed care organizations, Optum Health, is piloting. And the idea is that after individuals are discharged from a psychiatric hospital, that someone who is a certified peer specialist, they have specialized training, will follow up with them and offer them support and guidance. Particularly the 30 days after people are released from the hospital is a very vulnerable time, and there's a high rate of readmission. And they've seen very promising results with this. To date, there's been a 46% decrease in hospitalization for members involved with the program. So we think that that's a model that sounds very encouraging. Yale is actually doing a study, a research study on this, and it's being piloted in three communities, Milwaukee, Racine, and one other one that I can't recall. But we do think that this is a very promising initiative and one that we recommended that the county look at perhaps piloting as well. Right now, patients from the mental health complex are not participating in that. Optum Health is working with several of the private hospitals on this, but we think it's a model that could work well.
Excuse me. On that model, is that in reference to the community playing an impact role in Cuba Mata Hospital. What's the reason for the hospital rate going down in terms of input?
I think that there are a couple different components. This is after people get out of the hospital, they have someone who follows up with them and provides them support. Some of it may be as simple as just getting together for coffee. Other may be helping with very practical things, like people are out of medication and they're having difficulty getting more medication. They're having difficulty getting transportation to an outpatient appointment. You know, some of those very practical things that people need to do to maintain their health after discharge can be overwhelming. So those are some of the things that the peer specialist is assisting them with, providing emotional support, but also making sure they're able to get medication, they're able to get to the doctor. They may be having issues around housing. Another area we looked at was housing, and we found that the continuum of care did a survey of people on the street and found that a very significant number of people, 69% of those discharged from mental health treatment, did not have a place to stay upon discharge. So they ended up in shelters or on the streets. So those are the kinds of areas that people are getting assistance with. Does that answer your question?
The preventive model, being proactive. Okay, I got you. Yeah.
So those were some of the highlights I thought would be helpful to share, Paula.
Well,
I'll turn it over to you.
I go back to Supervisor Harris's comment. It's as we've discussed in the redesign discussions in this committee, all of these recommendations tied with the recommendations of other committees and Supervisor Holloway's model are all kind of this sort of melding together, and a lot of this is things that we're moving forward with what we can move forward with right away, and then other things are going to be things we're going to talk about in the budget, and some other things we'll talk about as we have to plan with our partners to do these. So it's all moving in one direction, and we're all feeling very collaborative and very positive about some positive changes that we're making to the system as a whole.
Okay,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. On that line, in terms of what we're able to do and what we need others to do for us in order to carry this out, two things. The first was on the family care. There was a statement about the fact that the timeline of discharge is critical, particularly if family care gets the cap.
Absolutely.
Their benefit. What is the timeline at which point they lose it? After how long?
We had contacted the state to ask about this. Supervisor Lipscomb is referring to that if the cap on family care that is in Governor Walker's proposed budget, if that is passed, and we're working very hard to ensure that it isn't, and I know that's a priority for the board as well, and we're hoping Senator Darling is going to, you know, save the day for us on that, but... she's indicated it's a priority for her, so we really want to support her on that. But if that doesn't occur and we do have this cap on family care, we ask what will happen when people are admitted to the hospital or admitted to the mental health complex or to jail. Will they be able to re-enroll in the program when they leave, since there won't be slots? And what we were told initially from the department is if people are hospitalized or incarcerated for a week or so, then they would be able to. If it's for a longer duration, then they would lose their slot. And of course, you know, we're going to be following up on this and challenging this. I mean, that isn't at all satisfactory response, but that is the initial response. So what could potentially happen is someone who is enrolled in family care is admitted to the mental health complex. They are there for 10 days or something, and then they come out and they no longer have funding for their housing and services in the community. So we all want to work very hard to ensure that doesn't happen, but that is the scenario that we have heard from the Department of Health Services.
Second one related to sort of what we need from others had to do with the Crisis Resource Center and the Medicaid models for rates.
Yes.
And those changes. Who are we dependent on to get those elements enacted?
Well, I think ultimately that's something that Secretary Smith and the leadership in DHS has the ability to change. And I know, again, different advocacy groups have been working hard on this. We have a meeting in the next week or so with Secretary Smith, my executive director, Lynn Breedlove, and I, and that's one of the top issues on our agenda to talk about. I know that TLS has been working on this. So far, there isn't an indication as to whether we're going to see some progress or not, and I certainly hope we do, because this is a much more cost-effective way of serving people. It's, I think it's around $475 a day versus, you know, $1,300 or so at the mental health complex. And they are able to provide a different kind of service. They can help more with those linkages to the community and assisting people with, you know, getting connected to services. It's just a different model. And peer specialists is much more recovery-oriented than an inpatient setting. But they have only 7 beds. And they aren't able to make a go of it right now fiscally unless the Medicaid rate is changed.
I guess I bring it up to highlight the fact that while there are a lot of things here that we can move on, and obviously the changes in policy, getting better outcomes should be the reason that we moved in that direction. We need some cooperation. The financial
from the state
has to keep up with that. Otherwise, we can't. You know, it's not going to be any better.
Yeah. That's very important.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for the questions. We met with the facility committee last week and, again, shared with them that the state budget and particularly the finding of family care and where some savings might be found in Title 19, that they have $500,000 of yet unidentified savings. That is a real threat to the projected model, the hypothetical model that we presented, which was a significant redeployment of clients and resources into the community. So thank you for the questions. And again, we sort of feel like we're at this moment, we're gathering some momentum. This might derail some of that movement if we can't get past that.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much. Thanks for the new supervisor asking. Of course, that means that they'll be with you a long duration of this issue. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you. We look forward to being with you in July for the next report. And if there are additional questions, please be in touch.
Okay.